For this time of impartation, we need, you know, we can't impart unless we have a visitation. We praise you. We've prayed and praised you this morning. I thank you for the men and women around the world who taken part of this lesson this morning. I know some things that you want to do in our lives, and I'm so thankful that we're here. And this is a special morning, and we give you the glory and the praise that every woman can hear, and that the ministries that are under the sound of my voice will partake of what you're placing in this commission that you've given me, that their connection will be tight and it be real, it be strong. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Who on, who not on, need to get on. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Hold that, if you will. Isaiah 40 and 31. And I want to share in this time the revival of kingdom dominion. The revival of kingdom dominion. There's a few things that the Lord said to me that I need to share with you. And the first thing was being connected properly. Because if you are connected with LTMA for 9 months and don't see no changes, you miss a pregnancy somewhere. You see the word impregnate us, or the anointing impregnate us. Impartation is impregnation. I'm here, I'm imparting, but the seeds that have been placed in me spiritually, impartation means impregnating the person who you imparting to. So if you're not pregnant in 9 months, if you're not having a baby in 9 months, your ministry is not changing, I want to give you an insight of what's happening. Especially in 3 years. In 3 years, if a ministry is not producing, we actually should ask my MBBs to cut them down, because it's a dead cat on the line somewhere. Now, I want you to understand the importance of connecting properly. Impartation, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you the branches. So if that branch is not properly connected, it will not be able to receive from that vine. Same thing with you and I. So your connection, if your connection is not good, you won't get the right frequency. You won't get the right signal. These are prelude things the Lord told me to say before I get in the lesson. You're not getting the right frequency. So therefore you can wear the name of LTMA, but you have none of the production of it. Okay? So make sure you are connected properly. In a car, if you don't have the battery cable connected tight enough, you won't get the juice to run. Now, I'll be able to tell who connected and not connected, because I'll see production. Now, I worked for many years the train and with cars being hooked up to a train. You got a thing called a coupling. And that coupling, if you have not hooked that car properly to that engine, and that coupling, you haven't dropped that thing down where that coupling is locked, the engine pull off, but the car stay where it is. You've got to have proper connection. Then the other spot the Lord told me about is respecting. Respecting. You've got to have the right respect. In order to connect right, you got to have the right respect. And then when you connect it properly and you respect it properly, you can now have the right expectation. You got to have the right expectation. Now, on the other hand, you cannot be a part of a move of God rejecting. See, if you're rejecting, you're disconnecting. Then the other thing is disrespecting. I want you to get that down. And the other word is dishonoring. So that's six words I've given you. Now, let me tell you what we want to do here. In Isaiah 40, 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, another thing you have to watch out for is distraction. Refuse to be distracted. Stay focused. Because what follows distracting is that derailment. You get derailed. You think you're on the track. Now, that's another thing I saw cars derail before. Car fell off the track. Because you don't have the coupling, there's some things you got to, on the track where you got to make that rail go, or you can make that car go off the track, or you can stay on the track. And so the enemy is constantly trying to derail you. That produced double-mindedness. That produced deception. And then you step into defeat. That shouldn't be in the LTMA if you connect it properly. Now, from Isaiah 40, 31, I'm going to tell you a revelation. I want you to catch a hold of it. Three things I want to say to you. Number one, by promises you walk in ministry. By promises you walk. Number two, by principles you run in ministry. Number three, by instruction you fly. We need to be flying now. Time to fly. Notice by instruction. So it's a difference between promises, principles, and instruction. This morning I come to give you instruction. Now, the other word says servant, but I'm going to say this. Ministers have drift. Now these words came to me in the spirit. The next five or six statements, I could say it all together, but I want to break it down. Ministers have drifted from my plan in the kingdom of God. They're drifted. So when they drifted, they got derailed, they got double-minded, they start trying to use worldly principles and all kind of stuff for resources. So I impart to you that you will not drift. Not another day in your life. You listening? Secondly, now this is real. You have to pay a lot of attention to get this one. The church has become an institution instead of a part of the kingdom. I want all LTMA ministers who are pastors, pull your church out the institution. Your church must be in the kingdom. See, this is not about word of faith. This is not about full gospel. This is not about Baptist. This is not about Methodist. It's about what Jesus Christ wants. And then he said prophetically to me, many have drifted from my plans by subtlety and deception. Hey, good news. I'm about to bring many back in reminder to me, that's the way he said it to me, a remnant who will walk at a level I have designed for them. And I could be saying, you know, thus saith the Lord. He did say it, but I just want to give it to you. Listen very carefully. He says, I will not deal with substitutes. I'm here to give solution. From now on, I prophesy. From now on, in your ministry, you will have solution to every situation. Then he says to me, he who surrenders will win in life. We'll get to the teaching in a moment. Now this one is very, some of you all get discouraged about your numbers. Now listen, if you connect it closer to me, you're probably gonna lose some members. Because there's a flushing going on in my ministry now. There's a flushing and there's a cleansing and there's a pruning going on now. I find out each level I go to that some people can't go to the next level, and God had me to say some things to cut them off. My church just picking back up pace now. People, the Lord said, and I give you the word because he gave it to me for you, people are coming. People are coming. People are coming. Then he said, get ready, the people are coming. I had one of my sons told me about his honoring him. He said he gave him $130,000. He said, Dad, I had a few members left, but my members still give me $130,000. They were supposed to go. There's a pruning going on and getting ready for growth. Listen very carefully. I'm still prophesying. That's what the Lord said. The church will no longer move in numerical dimension, but she now will move in kingdom dominion consciousness. Let me give it to you again now. She don't worry about the number, just be in the consciousness of the kingdom. The church will no longer move in numerical dimension, but she now will move in kingdom dominion consciousness. Now, I'm a country boy. The Lord talked to me, country sometime. He says, flaws will fly away like buzzards, and the future will hang on the wings of the eagle. Flaws will fly away like buzzards, and the future will hang on the wings of the eagle. And then the last part of this word he'd given me, and we'll get in the lesson. No longer will my women and men ride on Shetland pony. That's that little small horse. Shetland pony. They'll ride on stallions of war and proclaim my name, and the fire will come. That's powerful, boy. That's powerful. Now let's get into today's lesson. Let's define revival. The sovereign act of God in which he restores his own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience. Repentance, faith, and obedience. We the first one. There's another level, and there's something that we need to do now that we haven't been doing, so he's restoring us. Then Hosea 10:12, it says, Hosea the prophet described revival as breaking up foreign ground that once has been tilled. And there are four or five things under that. And was mellow and suitable for growing an abundant harvest. I see you have an abundant harvest in your ministry. Hallelujah. But he described it as was mellow and suitable for growing an abundant harvest, but now hardened and overgrown with weeds and all sort of spontaneous vegetation, none of which pleases or is useful to the farmer. That's what that far ground is, and you got to bust it up. If your ministry is, when I say growing, I'm talking about growing spiritually, because numerically it'll take care of itself. All right, let's see what the revival is saying here. Often revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven fire on earth. The breaking forth of heaven fire on earth. It breaks the effect and influence of hell fire on earth and establish God kingdom government here on earth. Establish God kingdom government here. I keep asking Junior to give me this definition over again. I have it now. The purpose of the apostolic is to create heaven to earth government structure, which allow the portals of the supernatural to be open. And that's what our church is all about. Here it says, the only way to shut the gate of hell is to open the door of heaven. The only way to shut the gates, plural, of hell is to open the doors of heaven. The fire. Now notice this. Notice this cooperation in revival. The fire came from heaven after the prophet Elijah had built the altar according to his word. That's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30 to 38. Notice, The rain came after Noah had built the ark according to God's word. Notice that. And see, our ministries have to be built according to God's word. The fire not going to come or the rain not going to come. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came down after the apostles prepared themselves properly in the upper room. God cannot move unless men have prepared themselves in accordance to his revealed word. This is out of a book, The Wave of the Revival. One of my sons was teaching. The Lord told me I had to teach it. God cannot move, listen, unless men have prepared themselves in accordance to his revealed word. You got Elijah, you got Noah, you got Pentecost. There's certain things, you know, the Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You don't bind nothing down there, God can't bind nothing. See, it's a cooperation. It's a covenant. Revival is a covenant thing. Revival is a sovereign move of God, an intervention of God in the affairs of men. Number one, it's not something you and I plan. Number two, it is something God does by his Spirit. You and I can lay the foundation. That's what we're doing this morning. Prepare, but it is God that has to move. So instruction, we're back to instruction. Follow instruction. Whatever instruction God give you about ministry, follow that instruction. Catching the wave of revival is the unfolding of what it would take to bring revival into our city and land. I like what it says here. Catching the waves of revival is the unfolding of what it will take to bring revival into our city and land. And so we're going to explain the various stages of revival. Now here it says, and I've seen it over the years, most people believe we will have to wait for revival because it's a sovereign act and only God can determine when it should happen. That's only a half truth. It is sovereign, but it's only a half truth. I'm going to go down through some these things of what happened here. The fire came after Elijah built the altar. You think the fire would have come if Elijah wouldn't have built no altar? No, he had no reason to come. Maybe that's why God haven't come into your ministry and lifted your ministry to another level. You haven't given him a reason to. Now we're going to have to stop. We can't be hard-headed and hard-hearted and harden our soul not to let the far ground in our heart be broken up in the word going forward. And if you see you're not being successful, it means you're making a wrong turn. If you followed LTMA, you made a wrong turn, because success is all over us, good success. So this is only a half truth, see. You put it on, well, God sent revival. Have you made the container for revival? You see? Yeah, notice, the fire came after Elijah built the altar. Then for his king, 1830-38, repeating myself, the rain came after Noah built the ark. Genesis 6:14-22, chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, Genesis. The glory came after Moses built the tabernacle. Then Exodus 34. The heavens opened after Jesus prayed. Luke 3:21. The Holy Spirit came after they had gathered together in the upper room. See, Acts 2:1-4. The Holy Spirit came after the apostle laid their hand on the believers in Samaria. Acts 8:17. So, there's something we must do to activate revival in our city or in our ministry. The stages that I'll be discussing will help us as pastors and ministers in our ministry to prepare our churches to walk in the spirit of revival before it breaks out in full scale. We got to have revival going on now. And how can we work toward revival unless we know what to do? Listen, to know how and what to do is an important prophetic insight and perception we need to have. Prophetic insight. That's why I'm here this morning. Because most Christians are bound by a wrong mentality of the past generation who have had insufficient revelation of the future. And that's that. I want that to happen. Stagnation almost have set in. Talking about numbers and how good the service was, that's really not revival. But we in this new generation that know that we have been given keys of the kingdom. Then Matthew 16, you understand that. Now, let me tell you another revelation that's going to bring revival in your ministry. The Bible says, ask it should be given, seek you'll find, knock and the door will be open. That's what the Bible says, okay? And we got this knocking theology. See, Jesus was the one in Revelation 3:20, stand at the door and knock. He ain't told you go nowhere and knock. We got to move from the knocking theology to the keys theology. We supposed to be not knocking, listen, we supposed to be unlocking. He said in that 19th verse, Matthew 69, I give you the keys, plural, of the kingdom of heaven. So as ministers, we have to teach our people not to knock. We had to teach them how to unlock. Now, I'm in a series now on praise. Let me go to the side a bit. Praise is more powerful than prayer. What? Why? Well, you notice when Daniel prayed, there was an interruption. The angels had to get into it to get it to him. Another time they prayed for another occasion, the angels are in your prayer life. Angels got to help your prayer. But praise is superior because when you start praising God, he comes direct to you. And it's a big difference. Stop knocking and start unlocking. I mean, you see, and one way to unlock is praise God. Praise God like you already have it. And you'll start unlocking. Jesus start unlocking. So one believer, he can knock, but God will determine if he should open and when he will open. One believer, he can knock, but God will determine if he should open and when he will open. The other believer, the tearing is over, and he has the keys in his hand. That's a great difference there. The first believer that God determined the time of our answer, while the other believer, the time is when we decide to move in our inheritance. That's powerful, man. One believe in waiting for God, while the other believe in advancing in the power of the kingdom. And that's where the keys come in at. And I've done that many times, still do it today. So here's what I'm saying to you. It is time for the body of believers to come into a more excellent way of doing things and living in his fullness of blessing. These apostolic teaching and procedures will help the church to work out their salvation and to come into their inheritance. Don't be satisfied. There's so much more. The church has waited too long. The issue has not been in just the waiting, but in the maturing of the saints to pursue a more excellent way in the apostolic grace. I'm going to tarry there a minute. The church, now they've been waiting for churches like LTMA churches. If you do what I tell you to do, you're going to see breakthrough. The church has waited too long. The issue has not been just in waiting, but in the maturing of the saints. You know, in Ephesians 4, they talk about maturing the saints. Now, actually, if you go to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, actually, the church, you very seldom can find that type of setup where every joint supply, you know, not laid away by deception, edifying the church, building up the saints. And so what we should be doing, maturing the saints to pursue a more excellent way in apostolic grace. Now listen to LTMA, listen to MVB. This apostolic grace, now I've been in ministry 43 years, And I've been on the search for 43 years. Never stopped, not one day. And one of the missing ingredients in the church at large is apostolic grace. I'm not talking about apostolic title. They got every little Joe Blow saying he's an apostle, she's an apostle, and don't have enough fruit for to feed two people. So we have to realize what we're stepping into here. We're not criticizing, but we're critiquing the body of Christ, this apostolic grace. I'm telling you, I was thrust in it, and I started studying under the apostles who were real apostles, and found out that there was a whole lot of things is missing in the body of Christ. Now, I think one of my advantages was I was wearing a thing and didn't know it, if that's such a thing. The keys of the kingdom is given to a mature church, or not an immature one who will squander her inheritance. Wow. Wow. So you got a 8-year-old boy, you gonna give him the key for the house? Come back when you get ready? So what I'm seeing here is the keys are available to the church unless the leader mature and start using the keys himself. The people really can't use the key. They're praying and waiting. You know, I got a message I'm teaching now. Talking about prayer warrior, you ought to have some praise warrior. Notice this, I have to read these two things over. The church has waited too long. The issue has not been in just the waiting, but in the maturing of the saint. In other words, the four levels of the word. You see, the four levels. Milk, meat, honey, and wine. Matured Christians are drinking a new wine, you see. But you can't put new wine in old thoughts. Their mind has to be renewed, even though they might be born again, but they still may be carnal. You read Galatians chapter 4. It says, you know, if you're not matured, you're not qualified to act like a son. You got to be a real son to carry a key. See, so the immaturity of our churches has been disqualifying us for using the key. So I'm seeing here, to use the key, you can't use the key as a rookie. You have insufficient hope, insufficient faith, and so you can't use it as a rookie. So the keys of the kingdom are given to a mature church, not an immature one who will squander her inheritance. Yeah, and when squandering an inheritance, and you know, the church get financially free like this church is, and money, stock ready to go for the kingdom of God, you get wild and get complacent if you're not matured. I know you have to know it belongs to God. These apostolic truth, now I talk about apostolic grace, now we're talking about apostolic truth, will set you free to pursue a course toward full-scale revival in your city and in your nation. The people are coming. Listen, I like this statement. We can bring full-scale transformation on this earth by thinking with the mind of a strategist and pursuing their course with the spirit of a revivalist. We can bring full-scale transformation on this earth by thinking with the mind of a strategy and pursuing that discourse with the spirit of a revivalist. So what you want is not let strategy take the place of your spirit. You got to operate in the spirit of a revivalist. Joshua succeeded Moses as the leader of God's people in a very critical moment in the history of Israel. And God assured Joshua that he was the right candidate, but only he must be strong and of good courage. God revealed to Joshua the success strategy. Joshua 1:8, good success. Many years ago, I took that strategy, the good success. God revealed to Joshua the success strategy he required in such a crisis moment, meditation on God's word. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate day and day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Then thou will make thy way prosperous and have good success. What a powerful voice. The commentary on that verse is Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Now here's something to inject here. In John 2, 5, at that wedding, Mary said to those servants, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Then you go over in Psalm 1 and read 1 to 3, he says, whatsoever you do shall prosper. That's instruction. I think the problem, the blind man, blind from birth, Jesus spit and put mud on his eye, gave him instruction. We have to learn how to follow instruction, because it's instruction, again, earlier I told you, it's instruction what's going to cause you to fly. See, I think people sometimes can't take instruction for trying to tell people what they know. But their results is behind them calling them a lie. Joshua did what the Lord told him to do. He succeeded. David used the same strategy, became the greatest king of Israel. Later on, Apostle Paul used the same strategy, and his success speaks for itself in the New Testament epistle. True revival produces specification for the good of man and the glory of God. Lord, send revival in the land, outpouring on your churches, and breakthrough in the cities. I'm going to go a little further here. Let's look at this. Take note of this. The closest biblical word to revival is revive, or reviving, from the Hebrew word chayah, a primitive root mean to live. Now here's this word. It's also translated in the Strong as nourish, preserve life, quicken, restore, save alive, and make whole. The first full time this word is translated revive in the King James Version, it deals with four increasing levels of death. Because you got to die to revive. I think when you think about a revival, first thing I think about is back in the old days, I was a Baptist boy preacher, dry bone, Ezekiel 37. Put that in your note, Ezekiel 37. Because what you have to see is a servant who can see that the church really not in her place. Ezekiel saw that valley was full of dry bones. And then somebody wise enough to go to God with it. And then somebody wise enough to answer God right. Because he said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel put it back on him. Lord, thou knowest. Then he gave him instruction. Prophesy to those dry bones. Ezekiel prophesied. The bone got up. Standing up. Now here's where more churches are at. They look like they're alive. But Ezekiel recognized. I recognize this church and the churches that I'm filled with, they're not fully alive. So Ezekiel recognized it. And then the Lord said, all right, Ezekiel, go back now. Prophesy to the full wind that they might blow on them. And when Ezekiel did that, they came alive. And that's what revival is about prophesying the wind to the wind, that the wind can blow in on our churches and get us out of these denominational, religious, theologian setting that we can come alive and shake our cities and shake the nation. In Genesis 45, 27, it revealed that Jacob's flickering hope was realized when he saw Joseph's wagon. When they told him all the words of Joseph, what he had spoken to them, and when he saw the wagon that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father, Jacob, revived. See? Revival starts from that small, hopeful conviction that one day we'll see the glory and the power of God. Revival breaks forth from a hope that does not disappoint. All right, in Judges 15:19, You read them sometime. I'm not going to read all these scriptures. It revealed that Samson's thirst was quenched by the water that came out from a supernatural source, which caused his strength to return, and he was revived. Well, that is in the NIV, Judges 15:19. Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst that only a supernatural source can satisfy. Revival is the coming in of a new freshness from the supernatural provision of God. Go to another scripture in 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 22. It reveals that Elijah's prayer was heard and God responded to his voice by reviving and restoring the child. Then 1 Kings 17, 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he was revived. Revival start and respond to our voice of prayer. God move and respond to our intercession. And praise is important here too. Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility. Oh my. Revival, listen to this, I'm gonna read this slow. Has a lot to do with human responsibility activating a supernatural move of God. So you see, God is sovereign, but what I'm seeing here is that God cannot and will not start a revival by himself. In 2 Kings chapter 13, 21, it revealed that a dead man can come to life when his cork touched the bones of Elijah. And it came to pass, it says, and they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bone of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now, every time, pastor, every time you stand in that pulpit, you ought to be the bones of Elijah. Glory to God. And the word come out your mouth should cause them people to revive and come alive. Hallelujah. Revival starts with the principle of continuance. Revival started, we become fully submerged in the teaching and revelation of the old order, and we become baptized by their message. We need to touch the bone of our forefathers if we are going to carry on from the old into the new today. I tell you, recognition is important. And if you in LTMA and you have not recognized who I am, in spite of myself, that's where you're messing up at. See, I've been a trailblazer for many years. I probably done told you the story. I was preaching with Creflo Dollar, John Avezina, and Marcus Bishop. Well, the first part of the week, them guys had such great outline, I called my wife and told her, I'm just going to cancel, I'm coming on home. I think it was about Tuesday. My wife answered me and said, no, didn't God send you there? Stay. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, the next day I had to preach, and I was revived, the anointing came, and people were all knocked out all over the place, laying on the altar. And a man come and said something to me. I didn't really feel it. I didn't fully realize what he was saying. But I mean, Pastor Dollar was supposed to preach after me at his church. He said, Doc, I'm not messing with this. You know, we'll come back tonight or whatever. But John Avezina came. And, you know, he teach on prosperity for a long time. Way for me. And he came up there, the spirit all over the place, point his finger in my face. And he says, I know who you are. Went on back to the seat. It took me years to understand what he was saying. But he recognized that God had sent me apostolically and prophetically with this word on prosperity. Almost, I know you the man I'm going to have to tag. I recognize. So if you don't recognize, you won't have the respect. You don't have the respect, you won't have to respond. And if you don't have to respond, you won't have the revelation. And if you don't have the revelation, you won't have the manifestation. And if you don't have the manifestation, you don't have the demonstration. And so you got to pay attention. You got to recognize who God sent to you. You got to recognize you might be able to preach good, but that don't mean nothing compared to what God's trying to impart to you. Amen. So revival starts when God restores the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their father. All these group of people are listed as the recipient of revival. I hope you heard that and go back over it. Now the author talks about Dr. Wilbur Smith in his book, Reviving Revival. Note that there are seven outstanding revivals in the Old Testament. Number one, Genesis 35, 1 through 15, it talks about Jacob's household. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify your soul, yourself, and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God. Now that's something going to have to be changed in your people for to have revival. The little bunny hop, they just skip them all over the place, don't know why they're skipping. You got to correct that, you see. You know, one time it got in it with flashing light. You know, we can't bring all that in the church. That ain't going to make no move of the spirit. We can't bring the world in the church. We got to bring the church into the world. People come up with all kind of ideas. I think we should do this. You know, I just keep walking. But notice what he told them, though. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him. Here's instruction. Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourself and change your clothes. Then come. Don't come till you do that. Let us go up to Bethel, place the house of worship, where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress, who have been with me wherever I have gone. So they give Jacob all the foreign god they had and the rings in their ears. You know I won't stop there, right? No. And Jacob buried them under the oak of Shechem. Now, the next statement said, the Lord responded immediately to their service of rededication. The threat of an enemy invitation immediately ended. Scripture record, then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the town all around them so that no one pursued them. You see what a difference that made? But it had to have somebody to set the house in order. But a person can't set the house in order. He gives you instruction. You get out in the car 3 or 4 yards talking about, well, what are you talking about? We've been doing this 96 years. You see what I'm saying? You got to be the man or the woman of the house. Let's look at King Asa, 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 15. I expect y'all to read this. Revival came to Israel because for many years Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without instruction. Oh, my God. Without the true God, oh, my God. Without a teaching priest, oh, my God, and without instruction. And that's where we got to bring it back on. We got to go back to the true God. We got to be teaching priests, and we got to be giving instruction. Not just teaching, instruction. But when Asa heard the words of Azariah, the priest, he took courage and removed the detestable idols from the whole land and renovated the altar, the Lord, verses 1 and 2 and 8. Hallelujah. Revival came. The people rejoice, and the Lord give them rest on every side. Verses 14 and 15. King Jehoash. 2 Kings 11 and 12. 2 Chronicles 23 and 24. Revival came when Jehoiada, the priest, gave instruction. 1 through 17. He gave instruction. Then all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They killed a wicked king's mother. Ooh, my goodness. Verse 15. Joaz, the king, took his place on the royal throne, and all the people rejoiced. Revival came in the land, and the city was calm. You read those scriptures, you're going to see how the revival starts. King Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, 4, I'm almost through, 1, 4 through 7, 2 Chronicles 29. The revival under Hezekiah is one of the most sudden of those, listen, recorded in scripture, in 2 Chronicles 29, 36. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people, because it was done so quickly. He began a work of restoration at the very inception of this reign, his reign, and within a couple of months, the whole land was swept with a wave of spiritual enthusiasm. Just a man who knew what he's doing, you see. Consecration, a recommitment to the covenant, purification of the temple, a restoration of worship and sacrifice, and singing were a mark of this revival. Remember to read that now. King Joab, King Josiah, 2 Kings 22 and 23, 2 Chronicles 23, 34 and 35. And Josiah was the godless son of the evil Manasseh who led Israel astray. When he came to power, the temple was in a shamble. The book of the law had been lost, and the people did not have a clue what God required of them. As a teenager king, he began to seek God and purge the land of Baal altars and other idols. While repairing the temple, the book of the law was found. And when he heard its word, Josiah was smitten with the fear of the Lord. He read the law to the people. There followed a reinstatement of the sacrifice system and a restoration of the temple worship. The people recommitted themselves to the covenant and expressed this in a massive Passover festival. 2 Chronicles 35, 18. The Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the day of the prophet Samuel. And none of the king of Israel had ever celebrated such a Passover as did Josiah. Revival, man. That's what we need in our church today. Our churches are suffering. Revivals are not a 30, 90 days happening. It's an ongoing thing. You're building revival from one level to another level. Under Zerubbabel, Israel, chapter 5 and 6, Hezekiah and Zechariah, two prophets, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem. The people returned back to their God and his commandment and his statute. Their God, his commandment, his statute. For 7 days, they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work on the house of God. The God of Israel began. So many phenomenal things happened. Under Nehemiah time, Nehemiah 9, chapter 12, verse 44 to 47, the people fasted and repented for what they had done. The choir sang under the direction of Jeremiah, and on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Why? Revival had come. Now, I want to close out by giving you quickly 9 characteristics of these revival that you can apply to yourself. Number one, it occurred in a day of deep moral darkness and national depression. I better read that 18 times, because that's where we are now. It occurred in a day of deep moral darkness and national depression. Notice number 2 now. It began in the heart of one consecrated servant of God. One. See, don't take no point. One. And one is you. One consecrated servant of God, power, energizing power behind the revival. One man. God used that vessel to quicken and lead the nation back to faith and in obedience to him. That's what God wants you to do. Each revival, number three, each revival rested on the word of God, and most was a result of preaching and proclaiming God's law and prophecy with power. Number four, all resulted in a return to the true worship of Jehovah. Get a hold of my praise teaching. I'm going to be teaching on praise for quite some time here at Word of Life, at least a month. And it revolutionized in our church. We had a service Sunday. Oh my God. Number five, each witness of the destruction of high places, Allah, false religion, and God. We'll find them. Your spirit will find them. Number six, in each revival, there was a recorded separation from sin, complete cleansing, holiness, and purity. Number seven, in every revival, they exalted in the sacrifice of blood. Number eight, all recorded revivals show a restoration of great joy and gladness. Well, I'm going to stop there and talk to you a minute in my closing. Go over those things. I had to make some changes in my ministry. I was woke up about 4:15 in the morning, a couple of 3 days ago. And the Lord said, and I want to pass this on to you, don't become an asset to your people only. They have to be in a position that they have to access you. And I had all my teaching out, you know, letting the people get them. And the Lord said, take them all. So they down. And then he told me, shit, I turned the light out 50-mile radius from this church. I don't want no member sitting at the house looking at me on screen saying I'm their pastor. So we shut that down. We shut the meditation down. And the strange thing about it, we shut the meditation down, only two or three people called back where it was. So it's sort of like spoiling the people. And so the Lord, I think he doubled the price on my CDs, or what do you call the other thing y'all do? MB3, the price is doubled. Everybody in this ministry, want to be in this ministry, gonna have to access it. There will be no, the Lord says, in essence, you're building takers. You're building takers. And when people become takers, they become complacent and they don't appreciate what the Lord is doing. So we took care of that. We're going to Mount Gilead on Thursday night. We'll be there. Now, it's possible, Dan, I may stay for that Saturday morning and do some health teaching if the Lord leads. I'm not saying definitely not, but it's possible that I will. I'll talk to you about it. I would like all of LTMA members to get closer. The first thing I talk about, connection and respecting and honoring. I believe some of y'all can get the meeting. Y'all just not coming. Y'all just sat there and watching your convenience. That's not the way I did it. Wherever my spiritual father was, if he didn't have nobody else, he'd look up, he gonna see me, I'm on the front row. I did that year after year after year. There's another man I believe God is leading me to follow to go to another extension in my anointing. In the spirit world, you never have arrived. So I've been looking for about 10 or 15 years now. And I thought he was, then I dropped back, I thought he was, but I think I'm getting an anchoring. So now I'm sowing in his ministry and following him real close. And I've picked up some new stirring in my anointing. I like to do exactly what God wants me to do. If any of y'all dealing with anything, don't be discouraged. I mean, you know, you have to deal with things, deal with them. I did make contact with Dr. Hilliard in Houston, and I asked him what he needed to do, And then he got back, or he sent the text, and I accepted it. And so I sent him $10,000. Now I'm waiting on Marvin is getting data together for us. You know, he was flood under. We're gonna ask, you know, LTMA gonna have to participate as a brother there with his city. I'm waiting on him, and I'm ready to send him some money as soon as he tells us what to do. I'm ready. I'm here. I'm not far from Port Arthur. If they can't get it, I'll send two or three trucks loaded with stuff from here. You know, like diapers or whatever, water, whatever they need. I just want them to know I'm here. Cookie, she on the line. She was all right. Her church was all right. Number one, two of her members. Then Houston Ronnie, he probably on the line. We checked on him. He was all right there in Houston. And so we're just trying to watch out for what the people need in Houston now. Somebody said prayer. No, people need money in Houston. You didn't pray it already. They need some money to rebuild. It's one of the greatest disasters. Now that storm they said was coming this way, my wife and I said, no, it's not. And it's a beautiful thing. I got to go back and try to find that paper. It says the harvest was cutting up and it was going toward Louisiana, and the people were getting ready in Louisiana, and said, finally she crawled into Louisiana. She lost all her strut. Yeah, because we cut it at the root. Anytime you hear a tornado or a hurricane coming your way, cut it at the roots. Remember Jesus cursed that fig tree at the root? I cursed it at the root, and I also used what Jesus did on that ship. I said, peace be still, you will not come here. You cannot cross the bloodline. And draw a bloodline around Louisiana. Now you're doing, you got a lot of opposition. You got a lot of other people saying other stupid things, but most times you can win out, and it happened. I remember, I'm closing, I remember they were doing some work on my house about 30-something years ago. I don't know if a man was putting in a satellite. I was trying to catch Fred Price. And I saw over yonder behind my house coming across the field a rain storm coming. I mean, just coming. I got on the headland and stood and held my hand out and said, you can't come no farther. And that rain stood right in front of my face. That rain stood right in front of my face and couldn't come no farther. It was amazed to me. It was amazed to me. Another time, my little sister had got operated on her female parts, adopted a child. I laid hand on her, she had a baby. Another well-known minister daughter couldn't have no children. I heard her, I was walking in the room, I was preaching for her. I won't call no name. For protection's sake. And she said she was barren. I said, no, come here. I laid hand on her and said, I didn't say this time next year. I said, you're pregnant. She got pregnant. They called me, very down, said the baby died. No, God didn't tell me about no dead baby. So I told him, just wait a minute, the baby coming. A few months later, she's pregnant again. Got a fine baby now, see. Sometimes God, in pregnancy, God had used me like that. But so many things happening, and revival had broken out in this church here. New people coming, a new move of the Spirit. What happened at home should happen at your house. So I bless you, I've been praying for you. Get that minute meeting as you can, because we're on a new wave now, and new things are happening. It's no happening, it's a week of favor. I decreed favor this week. And there's no telling what gonna happen at Mount Gilead, then Richmond. I'm ready to yield to the Holy Ghost. I know they're ready to yield to the Holy Ghost. And I know my MVB is gonna be there. And there are certain guys and girls that follow me. They'll be there. And we thank God we'll have a good meeting. Leroy and Montreal, I'm gonna take care of the footwork. I'm through, and I bless you in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all got to. You finna call them and do the roll call now, right? Be sure you stay on call when they're about to do the roll call. And I need to have that roll call. God bless you. See you next time.